So we just want to, just bless Sarah. We just thank you, Father, for the gift of people who are keen to hear your voice and to share the truths of your word, who you are, how you want us to experience you and to experience life. We just bless Sarah for the ever-maturing woman that we get to enjoy here at Overflow. We just ask you to bless her as she shares today. We just declare that she is just more than enough in how she's prepared this, how her the words that she shares. We just ask you to bless us, Lord, through them. We just thank you for the gift of teaching that you've put on her and just her eyes to see through your kingdom perspective. So we just ask you to bless her as she blesses us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Brad. If you can't hear me and you would like to stand up and get a seat closer to the front, please feel free to do that now. As I was prepping this message, I was reminded of a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "You can't get a cup of tea big enough or a book long enough to suit me." And something about this image of constant rest and relaxation spoke to me. It sounds really nice. Often physical, mental, and emotional rest can feel fleeting or hard to come by. But this morning, there is an invitation to find rest for our souls. I'd like to suggest that it might not look like a giant cup of tea or a really long book or a comfy couch, but rather being transformed by Jesus so that we live from a place of lifelong rest, inner unity, and emotional peace. This morning I'm going to be preaching from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I'm going to start by giving some context for that passage, then by diving deep into a couple of key phrases, looking at how we can apply this to our own lives, and then finish with an encounter and an activation. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and there you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Interestingly, this passage is preceded by Jesus stating that he is the only one who knows the Father and he's the only one who can reveal the Father. And after this passage, we see Jesus having some interactions with the Pharisees where he confronts them about their interpretation of Sabbath laws, which is the day of rest. So this passage is positioned quite nicely in the middle. It's also interesting to note that it's written in metaphor. Metaphor is complex. It often has multiple meanings. It has a specific meaning to certain people in a certain time, in a certain place. And that's the case here. So let's dig deep into three phrases from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Firstly, I'd like to draw your attention to the phrase, "come to me." This is distinctive, because often in the Gospels we hear Jesus say, "follow me." But here he says, "come." Jesus has just told us that he is the only one who can reveal the Father. And then he offers this invitation to come to the Father through himself. He's saying, "get to know me." From this we can learn that rest is one of the ways that Jesus reveals the Father. Rest is part of the Father's nature. We get to rest because we get to know the Father. The second phrase is "find rest for your soul." Here the implied meaning of rest is refresh, and the meaning of soul is a person's mind, will, emotions, and sense of identity. In fact, the Greek word used for soul is psyche, from which we get the English words psyche and psychology. We use these words when we're talking about the brain. It seems that Jesus is offering more than just a chance to put our feet up. He is describing more than miraculously erasing pain, sin, and heaviness, as wonderful as that is. Perhaps Jesus' rest for our souls is a renewal of our mindsets, habits, and ways of doing life so that we can experience life from a place of rest, unity, and peace. When I read this verse, I get the sense that Jesus is offering more than just the removal of bad stuff. He's inviting us to personal revival, and that's really exciting. Finally, I want to look at the metaphor, my yoke is easy. A yoke is a beam of wood or a harness that's placed on the back of two animals to help them move a load. Think two oxen pulling a cart or ploughing a field. But also, in Jesus' context, a yoke was a rabbi's way of reading the Torah. It was a rabbi's way of understanding life. In this verse, Jesus is offering to renew our mind, will, emotions, and identity so that we can understand the life the way that he does. New Testament scholar Frederick Dale Bruner puts it like this. Jesus realizes the most restful gift he can give the tired is a new way to carry life, a fresh way to bear the responsibilities of the world. Jesus, who is the perfect representation of the Father, is inviting us to come to him so that he can show us a new way to live. He's offering a way of thinking about and experiencing life that results in rest, unity, and peace. So, sounds good. What does this look like? How do we take on the easy yoke of Jesus? Firstly, taking on Jesus' yoke should be done in partnership with Christ. In the Passion Translation, Dr. Brian Simmons notes that the metaphor of the yoke is that it joins two animals to work as one. It's not just toil or work that's the focus here. It's about unity and partnership, doing things together. Jesus' invitation is so rich that there are multiple ways that we can take on his yoke. As we draw nearer to him, the greater our revelation of his yoke will become. So this morning, I just want to focus on one way that I've taken on his yoke that significantly changed my life and brought me lots of breakthrough. For me, taking on Jesus' easy yoke looks like partnering with him to transform my mind, will, and emotions so that I perceive reality the way Jesus does. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In the Greek translation, the word transformed is metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. It's changing into another form. As we draw nearer to Jesus, we become like him. We are transfigured into him. I am changing the way that I think and believe so that I can be transfigured into the image of God that I was created to be in the garden. To perceive reality the way that Jesus does, we need to change some things. We need to change the mindsets, habits, and belief systems that lead to worry, hopelessness, perfectionism, and burnout. You can't successfully take on Jesus' way of understanding life whilst holding beliefs that are contrary to his nature. For example, I used to really struggle with perfectionism. My unconscious internalized belief systems told me that if I fell short, I deserved to feel shame. For me, I hadn't just failed, I was a failure. mentally, I agreed with this idea that I was accepted and loved and redeemed, but I hadn't co-labored with Jesus to change the way I think. I had to go on a journey of taking on his yoke and changing my belief systems. Now, when I experience failure, I don't have a shame cycle. My soul rests because my mind has been renewed and I've learnt to perceive my failures the way that Jesus does. And that is incredibly freeing. The intentional process of renewing my mind is something that I now do daily. I've done this so much that it's become part of my life. It's an ingrained habit. Through prayer, meditation, getting some counseling, doing School of Revival and fellowship in this community, I've developed tools that help me to change my mindsets, habits, and belief systems. So quickly this morning, I just want to share one tool with you that is really quick, that I use on the fly, that I sometimes use multiple times a day. It's adapted from the work of Dawna De Silva, who is a co-creator of the Sozo Inner Healing Movement. My name for this tool is Emotion, Belief, Repentance, Replacement. I'm going to say that slowly because I know it's a lot. Emotion, Belief, Repentance, Replacement. I'm going to run you through this tool and then we're all going to practice it together. One, emotion. Our emotions tell us so much. And whether we like it or not, we all have them. They are clues to discovering our deep belief systems. Daily, I invite Holy Spirit to help me accurately discern my emotions. When I feel a big feeling, I name it. Then I move on to step number two. Once I've identified my feeling, I think about beliefs. Not all belief systems are bad, but I want to ensure that all of my belief systems align with what I know about Jesus. When I notice an emotion, I ask about it. I find myself saying things like this: Holy Spirit, why was I mad my lawnmower broke? It might seem obvious, but I want to dig deep because I'm renewing my mind. In this instance, Holy Spirit revealed that I was angry about my lawnmower because I feared my unmown lawn was unacceptable. I was worried that people, particularly my neighbors and my family, maybe my friends, would think I was lazy and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. That's a lot from the lawn. But God's that good. He wants to go into the daily details with us. After I've done that and I've figured out what's going on underneath, I move on to step three, repentance. Sometimes the belief system behind my emotion doesn't align with the nature of Christ. So I repent from that belief system. It might sound like this: Father, I repent from believing that my identity comes from what people think of my lawn. It doesn't have to be long, it doesn't have to be complex, but I just want to make it known that I am intentionally turning away from that thing that doesn't serve me. Then I move on to step number four. Replacement. This is the best step. I'm renewing my mind. So I need to replace that old belief system with something. If I don't replace it, it's going to stay there. I need something to fill the gap. I do this by asking Holy Spirit about the new belief system he is building in me. I say things like, Holy Spirit, what are you building in me? What are you replacing this with? And then I invite him into that place. Holy Spirit, I invite you to minister security and knowledge of my identity in Christ. Because I do this so often, I can go really quickly from, oh, my lawn's really messy, to, Jesus, I invite you to keep building my identity. And sometimes I do this over and over. Sometimes once isn't enough when you're breaking a stronghold. I'm going to finish today by facilitating a chance for you to practice emotion, belief, repentance, replacement. We're going to use our imaginations to talk to God. If, like me, you struggle with the idea of doing an imaginative encounter, then I've got some suggestions for you. The first one is, grab a pen and paper or grab the notes app on your phone and take notes about what's going on. It helps keep you focused. One of the biggest challenges to stuff like this is we just get distracted and then we feel like we don't get anything out of it. So I encourage you to do that. If you love this type of stuff, you do you. So where you are right now, I encourage you to just become focused on the presence of God. Think about his goodness, think about his grace. If you feel comfortable closing your eyes, you're welcome to do that. Once you're focused on the presence of God, imagine yourself in a safe place. Might be the beach, it might be your bedroom, wherever you feel comfortable, imagine yourself there. You are safe, you are loved, you're feeling good. You notice Jesus is standing at the edge of your safe space. If you would like to, invite him in. Say, Jesus, you're welcome here. Jesus is so honored to be let into your safe space. He says, thank you for having me. Thank you for trusting me. While you're with Jesus in your safe space, start talking about your week. Did you go back to work? Did you stay on holidays? Did you meet a friend? Talk to Jesus about what you did this week. Have a conversation. It's low stakes. It's fun. And while you're talking to Jesus, I invite you to say, Jesus, remind me of a time I had a big feeling this week. Remind me of a specific emotion I had. Once you've got an emotion, ask step number two. Jesus, why did I feel that? What belief system underpins my feeling? Often this can be really hard if you've never done it before. Just go with the first belief system that pops into your head. It's usually the right one. If your belief system isn't something you want in your life and doesn't align with the nature of Christ, I invite you to repent of it. Just say, Jesus, I repent of believing this. And finally, ask Jesus, Jesus, what are you going to replace it with? What are we going to build together instead? Again, this can be a little bit tricky. So just lock in on that first thing that comes to your mind. Write it down if that's helpful. And the last question you're going to ask Jesus is, what's my part in building this belief system? What can I do this week to help build that belief system? If you're feeling done and you're ready to jump out of that encounter, feel free to open your eyes, stretch up. If you're still talking to Jesus, stay there, that's fine. Thank you so much for trying that out. I really hope that that is a tool that you guys can use to help build positive belief systems in your lives. That is the official end of our service today. I would encourage you, if you had a moment of breakthrough there, if you were reminded of a belief system that might need changing, find somebody you trust and tell them. Belief systems lose power when we talk to other people about them. So I just find somebody safe, tell them about it. Talk about the exciting things that Jesus is building in your life. We celebrate success here. So there will be somebody who would absolutely love to hear about the new belief system that is being built in you. Brad, is there anything else I've missed?
No, you've done well. It's such a good gift. Thanks, Sarah. Such a useful, just those little things that we can just build into the rhythm of our days, just to, it's just kind of, you don't want to, think that too much of every emotion, but just to really be seeking Jesus on what's the stuff that's really negatively affecting us, and how do we, it's just a really good tool to process that and come to a shift in our hearts and minds. So yeah, if I can just close by.
My mask is on the ground. Sorry. I was trying to discreetly get it.
I just pray for us, Father. Just thank you that you have created us all with purpose and intentionality, and that in this day ahead, in this week ahead, in this year ahead, that you have called us to do meaningful things that make life better for people around us and for ourselves. We want to be a blessing, Father. We just ask for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. And just out of what Sarah shared today, Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to work out of rest, that we may just pursue the rest in the way that you want us to experience that, in being able to share all of our burdens with Jesus, to enjoy doing all the things that we have to do with Jesus, knowing that he's happy to take the heavy load. He's the one that will show us the way to do the things that we have to do that can be difficult, that can be wearisome. We just want to learn from you, Jesus. So help us to ask you for help. And Lord, we just pray for the things that are affecting our minds and our hearts, that we can bring them to you, to seek understanding of what's going on in our hearts and minds, and just allow you to change the way we think about ourselves, those activities, and just remind ourselves of your goodness. So help us to put these things into practice today and this week. Help us to enjoy the freedom in life that Jesus desires all of us to do in increasing measure. So yeah, just bless that word to our minds. Help us to put it into action. Yeah, we just thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name.